Coming up on True Friend with Corey Montel Scott.
You ultimately separated from that label. What was mm-hmm. that? What happened?
That was me. Me. Now, me. Okay. If you need a helping hand, let me tell you about a friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of True Friend with Corey Montel Scott. Now, if you want to stay up to date on future episodes, make sure you click that subscribe button down below.
I've been blessed to speak to some of the people who have completely defined moments in my life, and this one is probably one of my top five favorite, and it hasn't even started yet. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage singer, actress, LaToya London, everybody.
Hi.
Listen, you have no idea how fortunate and blessed I feel that you agreed to come onto the show today. You have been someone whose career I have followed since I've been in the third grade. I've been blessed to see you live a couple of times, and I have followed you even as a kid. But we're going to get into all of that. But before we get into what I think of you, who is LaToya London to you, and how would you define yourself to someone who has never met or heard of you before?
Wow. So LaToya London is an entertainer. She is a ham. singer, songwriter, actress, you know, jokester, once you really get to know me. I am a caring person, but no nonsense. I don't really like fluff, nothing like that. I'm a straight shooter. And what else? I don't know. I'm a chill person. I'm real cool. That's what I think of myself. All of that. and a lover of God.
I love that. Okay, so LaToya, and I thought I already knew you before. Of course, before I did the interview, I want to make sure with all my guests, even if I've been following them forever, I do my research. I read that you started singing at the age of four. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the question that I want to know is, who were some of your influences growing up? So if you could give me a Mount Rushmore plus one, who were your musical influences?
Shoot. Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Anita Baker, In Vogue. And then just the people that were around me too. My aunt Zarina London, she was a prominent figure in the Bay Area where I grew up as a performer. Her performing and me going to her performances, like at 2 years old, 3 years old. I think that's kind of what sparked that idea of even the possibility. And then, you know, my mom just playing music around and then just me singing along with it. She could tell I had an ear, but there was something in me that, I was drawn. And Whitney Houston's music, I guess, brought it out. My mom's friend, she heard me, you know, singing a little bit of it. And then she encouraged me to sing more and, you know, start adding little moves in with it. And I was doing all of that. So, those were my musical influences, I would say, vocal influences, and then, you know, the support around me helped bring it out.
So with all that around you, because I can even think of it, of the moments for me, what was that moment for you where you was like, okay, without a doubt, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I can't live, can't eat, can't breathe without doing this particular thing.
I would say, I think it was the joy that I got from it because, you know, when we're kids and we're left kind of alone to, you know, entertain ourselves, right? We're going to either play with our Barbies or G.I. Joes or whatever. And I chose to go down to the record player and put on Anita Baker record. I chose to go and play Whitney Houston tapes and I would sing along. So I think the joy within or the satisfaction within that I got from that, as well as partnered with the reaction that I got from friends and family, the encouragement that I got. So the feeling inside plus the feeling that I received on the outside, you know, gave me the encouragement and the confidence that I needed to make that decision.
And what's more surprising to me is that, you know, you've sung in a, and I think even when you auditioned for American Idol, you were singing in a group at a certain point. Is it true that you used to sing in a Christian rock band?
No. So I sang in choirs. You know, of course, my church choirs, children's choir, young adult choir, and then a community choir. But no, I sang in wedding bands. Like I sang in a wedding band and I sang in a corporate band. In the corporate band, you know, we would do large, like really expensive, extravagant weddings. We would get flown out, even overseas, even like to do big, you know, corporation banquets and events and things like that. And then the wedding band that I did was just particularly for weddings. But yeah, so those, and then also I performed in like local, you know, clubs around town, like the little juke joint hole in the walls, you know, with the local musicians, you know what I'm saying? And on horrible sound systems. I'm trying, just little old me and a mic is trying to compete with four instruments behind me, you know? And yeah, that was my humble beginnings for sure.
Mm-hmm. So growing up in the church, did you have that same experience where your parents or whoever was around you at that time weren't necessarily favorable with you singing secular music? Was that your experience?
No, it was always encouraged to sing secular music. but of course, the message, you know, with great messages in them, you know, I would always sing like the positive ballads and of course, gospel songs, too. But if it was secular, it was definitely appropriate for me.
Let me tell you something. You defined an entire moment for my life. And I'll elaborate on that as we go on. But you have no idea how much your vocal performances and your songs live rent free in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it gets to the point where I could even tears could well up right now, because LaToya, watching to be in the third grade, watch you take the stage on American Idol night after night after night. All I knew at that time was who I heard on the radio, which was Patti LaBelle. And Gladys Knight, Chaka Khan, those people in the third grade. Because see, my mom was kind of half saved. So like 6 months out of the year, we listened to the R&B station. And then the other 6 months we listened to the gospel station. It just depended on, you know, her temperament. So yeah. having American Idol was that way for me to see new singers, see performers, even before I really knew that's what it was that I wanted to do. Season 3 was without a doubt the best season. So let's go ahead and shift gears into that. What inspired you to audition for American Idol?
Ooh, a lot of people around me. And I will say I did watch the first and second seasons as well. And so the thought came to me like, I wonder, should I audition for something like this? Wow. You know, but then I was hearing mixed, you know, messages. Some people were saying, you know, oh, you should try out. And then other people were saying, nah, because you do something like that, it'll mess up your career. It'll pigeonhole you, you know? So I was a little conflicted. And then it got to a point where I kept hearing the positive side of it. Like, you know, you need to audition. And then the same weekend that I was going to Los Angeles for orientation for school, I was going to music school, was the same weekend that they were having auditions in LA American Idol. So a girlfriend had told me, she was like, you know, the auditions is this weekend as well. And I was like, what? So it's kind of like, what do I have to lose? Let me just go and just see what happens. So I went. My cousin, one of my younger cousins, she came and she wrote it out with me. We slept in a sleeping bag. She had hers. I had mine on the ground for two nights. And yeah. So anyway, that's what inspired me to just go ahead and just take the chance and see what happens.
I mean, it takes a lot of, and I'm happy that you had a support system, even with my experience auditioning for a couple things. Those are daunting, man. You walking around and everybody singing, warming up, egos all around. Go in the bathroom, they singing. You know, so it's a mess. What was it that was your focus that didn't distract you, didn't discourage you, but helped you see it through all the way to that Hollywood point?
Yeah. It was really just the confidence that I had in my own ability. You know what I mean? Like because there were definitely people around me, honestly, Fantasia, she was around. Jennifer, she was one of those ones singing out loud in the bathroom, letting you know, oh, boo-boo, y'all best beware. You know what I mean? So there was a lot going on around where it was like, it was intimidating, right? But I don't know if it was just maybe how I was raised or the finishing school my mama put me in or just me being a Capricorn child. I was like, game face. Don't let them see you sweat. Keep it, you know, keep it together. But when it's your time, when it's your time, when they say, okay, go, go. You know what I mean? Like, block everything else out. You know what I mean? And just rely on your gift. And so I guess from performing a lot prior to that and having to like deal with nerves and follow through no matter what distractions or anxieties are around me, like literally focusing in on what I'm doing in that moment, maybe that helped, you know what I mean? So it helped to kind of tune out everything else and all the distractions around me and just show up when I was called upon and also being prepared, like with my lyrics, whatever was called of us. Even when they put us in groups and stuff like that, I ain't tripping off the next person in my group. I'm in Beyonce mode. If so and so fall, I'm gonna keep going. If so and so hit an off note, best believe my solo is finna be amazing. You know what I mean? Like you just gotta set yourself apart, even when you are in the space. In a group, you know, with a lot of people. So
let me tell you something. Season 3 of American Idol was so good in black. And looking back, I am in shock at how much we didn't deserve y'all because we ain't seen nothing like it. I couldn't believe looking at, or I would have never known about Barry Manilow had it not been Manilow had it not been for y'all. But the way you, Fantasia, and J-Hud just put salt and pepper on everybody's song was just amazing and so unfair. And I live for that season. I went to the American Idols tour that particular night, that finale night. I want you to know we recorded it on a VHS tape and we waited good until after Fantasia had won her title, sang the living snot out of I Believe. And we rewinded back to the clip of y'all singing. And my mama got on the phone with her best friend. Girl, listen to these heifers sing. I mean, we played it over and over. Y'all, even now that I'm married and I have 3 children of my own, when I first got married, I asked my wife, I was like, did you watch American Idol? She was like, here and there. I said, no, you remember this moment? And she didn't. So I had to put her on to all y'all. That was so amazing. LaToya, what is your fondest memory from your time on Idol?
My fondest memory. Ooh, I would have to say fondest memories. It's hard to say because like I was so not really in touch with my emotions during that time that it was hard for me to really like absorb the moment. Like emotion, you know what I mean? Like emotionally where something like stood out or something affected me in a way, you know what I mean? So it's really hard to say because I was just constantly, I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. Fight or flight, survival mode, or just like go mode where I wasn't able to really like take in how I was feeling. What was I going through? Like, even like each week, like we would see, you know, when someone get voted off, like Fantasia would be crying. Like, I don't even know how I couldn't even like conjure up a tear because I was too busy. Like, I wasn't emotionally involved. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, my fondest memories. I guess I would just say generally overall, just encompassing it all and in my mind, and just the experience period is a fond memory for me. You know what I'm saying? I would say the whole experience, because there were so many little different things that happened within the experience. So many things I learned or experienced, like, you know, say being next to Elton John, you know, being in a room with Barry Manilow, even though I knew they were big names, I didn't get it then as much as I get it now. Does that make sense?
That makes a whole lot of sense.
I was young, you know what I mean? I was caught up in the moment, you know, still learning myself, let alone, you know, being able to settle emotionally in a moment and like really take something in, you know. It was, yeah. So I would say now, being able to sit back and reminisce and being more evolved emotionally, mentally, just, you know, as a woman, looking back, I would say the whole thing was just truly a fond memory.
After you got off of American Idol, I can't remember what story was in, but I saw this EP. I remember it. You had like this pink beanie on, and the three songs on it were like Appreciate, Every Part of Me, and It May Have Been All by Myself or something, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, we bought that. And oh, absolutely. But now I've debated on whether I was going to tell this or not, but I'm going to tell it because I've since... So my mama, I ain't have no job. I was in the fourth grade. So I remember when your album came out, my mom was like, we ain't got time to be buying no CDs. And at the time, LimeWire Ministries was so global. Oh, LaToya, I am so sorry. But let me tell you, it took me two days to go through and find all the songs for Love and Life. But let me tell you something. Scandalous. Appreciate Every Part of Me. My favorite on the album is Learn to Breathe. Learn to Breathe unlocked something in me as a creative. Learn to Breathe. Whenever somebody asks me, what is a song that you wish you would have wrote? I always say Learn to Breathe. Those songs kind of defined a moment for me. It was a moment in time. It was 3 months straight where we listened to nothing but Love and Life in the car. When I went to school, when I was leaving school to go home, when we was going to church, it just stayed in the CD player. Yeah, LaToya, and that's why I think, and I have a lot of guests on here, and I've been blessed to meet a lot of people. This moment means so much to me because I don't know if I would be the full creative that I am had it not been for what you released. Okay, and Waiting for You is which I found out preparing for this interview that you wrote. You just don't understand. You have been such a light to me. What was the development, though, of that album like for you?
So now some of the songs were already written, right? And they were submitted. And me and the label that I was on at that time, the lady who ran the label, we sat and we listened to all these submissions that came in. And, you know, they were sang by demo singers or whatever, just so you can hear how the song goes. And Learn to Breathe, honestly, was one of those songs. And it was just such a beautiful song. That was the whole point, was like to just do, get classic, timeless songs, right, for the album. And so, and then going into the processes where I was actually writing, because I wrote Waiting for You and I wrote four other songs, or at least co-wrote four other songs on the album. And it was like, it was crazy because it was like, okay, you know, I've been singing all my life. I was on this show, but now I have an opportunity to actually record an album. And like, who am I? What am I doing? Like, you know, I have an opportunity to be an artist. You know what I mean? So I knew I wanted to write. So in writing these songs, I wrote stuff that kind of, you know, fed me or, you know, was surrounded around like what I was going through at that time or, you know, the mental state I was in at that time. So for instance, Appreciate, right? That was one of the songs. Mind you too, I was in love during this time. So like for instance, the song More was all about the relationship I was in at that time. I was just so in love. I couldn't get enough, right? Wrote a song about it, like here go. Then appreciate, you know, I felt like we got all these songs like bashing men. Like, how about we talk about like how important the importance that they bring into our lives as women, you know what I mean? And so I wanted to do a song about that. So that's what Appreciate is about. Waiting for You. I'm all about the upliftment and encouragement of people, right? Because I know what we go through, you know, as people. I mean, there's so many distractions, discouragements, you know, pitfalls, all kind of stuff. But yet we have these passions, we have these dreams, and we have these goals inside that we want to accomplish. And sometimes we just need that, you know, that push or that encouragement. So I definitely knew I wanted to write a song for that purpose, you know, because it also encouraged me too. Like, I'm speaking to myself, even though I'm speaking to y'all, I'm speaking to me too, you know. So that whole process of writing and creating this album, it was liberating. I was able to express myself. I was able to even just witness the recording process. Like, for instance, Waiting for You was one of them, actually. Another one was How I Love the Rain. And I believe, All By Myself. We actually did a live band, like symphony type of recording. You know what I mean? Like, we recorded that in the studio, the live music. And then I went back in and then I sang. So like just that experience I had never experienced before. So it was... It was an experience for me, you know, just seeing how it worked in the recording world. You know, how do these big stars record their stuff? You know, what is the process? You know, like we're waiting for you. We went into the ASCAP writing room and I didn't even know they had a writing room for, you know, artists with the, you know, the artist union, the musicians and singers union. They have like spaces for you to go in and record or write and all that stuff. So just experiencing all that was really, really cool. And like I said, the songs that I wrote, definitely I put my life experience into those for sure.
And thank you for all that album meant. And it unlocks feelings for me from that time. Meet Me Halfway comes on the shuffle still to this day. And I'm like, don't you skip that. So, LaToya, thank you so much. When you signed with Peak Records, you initially had a 3-album deal, I read. Is that correct?
I believe so.
You ultimately separated from that label. What was that? What happened?
That was me. Me. Okay. So we put the first album out and when we came back to the drawing board of like, okay, so we want to talk about doing the second album. This is what we think, you know, we want to do. And I had my own opinion of what I should be doing too. I didn't agree with their idea. They didn't agree with mine. So I was like, well, I'm just going to leave the label. They were like so shocked. And, you know, couldn't hold a gun in my head, so they let me go. But like LaToya, so they wanted to do LaToya Sings the Songs Of, right? And which honestly, in hindsight, it, at the moment, I was like, I've already sung the songs of. I did that on a whole season of American Idol. I've been doing that my whole life. Like, who am I as an artist? Like, I don't want to sing other people's songs, you know? Toya sings the songs of. I wanted to come out with, I wanted to do like a tour and do a live album and then sell the live album, and which will then resell the first album. So whatever sales they were missing on the first, they would, you know, recoup. And then also you sell this new live album, right? But I don't know if they looked at it as, well, maybe the live album would be considered the second CD and we don't want to do that. I don't know. But it was, you know, they didn't have much time to think about it because it was literally all said in that meeting, right? And they were already fixed on what their idea was. So whatever I was bringing to the table, they were, you know, already fixed on what they were, which I was fixed on what I thought was right. So them wanting me to do Toya Sings the Songs of, I couldn't see how to make lemonade out of that, out of what I felt was lemons. You see what I'm saying? In hindsight, what I should have did, because here's the thing, you lead a label, Toya, who's going to fund things? Where's your machine now? And are you going to go hop on somebody else's label? Like, because it wasn't like I had that real hustle type spirit. You know what I'm saying? Where I was like, you know, I'm going to go to another label. I'm going to go find some other people. I'm going to do, you know what I mean? So in hindsight, what I should have done was compromise, which is, okay, LaToya Sings and Songs of, I'll do whatever songs say inspired me, you know, make them personal for me. And then as well, how about I reproduce those songs? Now I'm showing my ability as a producer to remix something. You know what I'm saying? Make it mine. What would LaToya have done to that song? How can LaToya make the songs? LaToya Sings the Songs of. How can she make those songs now hers? So in hindsight, you know, as you grow and you learn and you think back, you know, those are my thoughts. Like, dang, okay, this is what I should have done. So anyway, that's how that happened, child. Me. I got in my own way. I just thought I knew everything.
You're inspiring so many right now, I know, and myself included, because if I had, you know, just talking about the numbers from your debut album, landed at number 27 on the Billboard top R&B and hip hop charts. Broke the top 100, period. People magazine called it one of the best post-American Idol albums, and it was, we ain't had one like it really since then from someone who didn't win the competition, with the exception of Jennifer's first record. iTunes named it, and George Huff stuff. iTunes named it one of the best albums of 2005. So, I don't know, LaToya. I was on your side back then. I'm going to have to grow in that. I'm still learning, because that LaToya Sings the Song of, and you done learned to breathe and made me wait for myself and the passion, and come on. All right. So after that, you started taking a liking to acting. I was so involved in all things Color Purple, because even though we live nowhere near New York City, I wanted to see The Color Purple. And then when Fantasia went on American Idol and said she was up in it, I was like, oh, we really got to go see it.
Right.
When I found out that there was a particular period where, first of all, you originated the role of Nettie on the national tour. What was that like, really stepping from one arena, which is singing, you know, touring, and stepping into acting on a national tour, national Broadway tour, where it's lights, camera, actions all day and night. And then you cross paths again with Fantasia, playing roles that really are reminiscent from what y'all shared on American Idol. What was that like?
That was like one of those divine moments where you're like, wow, okay, God. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really make this up. You can't. You just see how God, the universe, you see how it works. You know? Because that was very interesting how, you know, we have this sister vibe and then now we're playing sisters in the show together. And even, you know, I know you're probably going to touch on this, the fact that J. Hood also was in it too, like all three of us. were in this show. But anyway, so yeah, that was very divine, you know, and we had a lot of fun. We did.
And then you later went on in a separate production and played Shug. I've seen so many different versions of The Color Purple. I got a Color Purple shirt. I got three or four Color Purple shirts, actually, because I just, this one of my, it's got to be in my top three favorite musicals. You played the role of Shug Avery as well.
Mm-hmm.
How can I ask this? Feel free to answer this however you want to answer this. What role did you connect with the most? Let's put aside the negative side of Shug Avery. What role did you relate to most, LaToya?
It's so funny because I will say that I probably related with, It's so funny. I probably related with Shug the most because I've been an adult longer than I was a child, right? And, you know, I'm fast, child.
Oh, God.
I'm fast. I am. You know, I've lived. I've done some things. So I definitely related with Shug. Nettie, I related the innocence in her and like the child side of me definitely related with her, you know. And also like being very protective. You know, because I'm like that. I'm like that with my big sister. You know, we was in Mexico one time and this guy was trying to walk behind her and do something. I told her to get in front of me and I got in between her and him. And I was like, no, back up. Like, my little butt, I will F you up. You know what I mean? Don't mess with mine. That's my spirit. You know, I have a sweet spirit. I have a protective spirit. And, you know, that rebel spirit. So I definitely resonated with Nettie. But I will say Shug was a lot of fun. You know, I got to, you know, the juke joint scenes and singing and dancing and also the highs and lows. You know, it was just so much more, I think, color in Shug's character, you know what I mean? Because she had a lot of different moments. She had happy moments, sad moments, moments of teaching, moments of being in a loving space, you know what I mean? So I think I that one I resonated with a lot and I had a lot of fun playing Shug. And that's the one I won the Ovation Award for.
Oh, well, amen. Let me tell you, I mean, you're just a horse of a different color. Because here I am quoting Wizard of Oz, because, you know, you reinvent yourself over and over again. When they say when one door closes, God opens another. But LaToya, let me tell you, you've gracefully walked through those doors, buying tickets to see Tyler Perry's Madea on the Run and checking out the cast list before and seeing LaToya London. I said, this LaToya, I have front row seats, man. I was ready. And when you walked out, I was like, oh, my God, because to watch you, you know, start on American Idol, we hadn't heard from you in some time after Love and Life. Then to see you up in this Tyler Perry, but I could have put out a bed right there in Columbia, South Carolina at the Township Auditorium and fell asleep. That's how at peace I felt. So what was the most valuable or rewarding thing that you learned from working with Mr. Tyler Perry?
Ooh, being ready, like, because he's the type, he'll call upon you to do whatever at any moment, you know what I mean? So you have to be present when he's in the room, even when he's not, but like for sure when he's in the room, baby, everything stops. And like, you gotta be ready, present. So ready with your lines, ready as far as knowing what part, where are we in the story right now? You know what I mean? So whatever he calls on that we need to do, you know, be aware and be ready to step into it, you know, being on time, you know, he's very much a stickler for that. Also, just respecting things about, say, an artist. So for instance, like, how can I say this without telling people's, you know, business, but like different, you know, artists are different, right? Famous people, they have different like quirks. They have different things that they like, that they don't like, that they accept, that they don't accept. And some things will make you be like, why? What's the big deal? You know what I mean? Or why are they like that? And one thing that I noticed, like Tyler, he's very, say, private, right? Or like, say, somebody be like, oh, can you give this? You know, somebody will catch you from off stage. They'll be off the stage. You'll be on stage walking off. They'll be like, can you give this to Tyler for me? Can you tell Tyler such and such? And we already knew, like, nah, I can't. You know what I mean? And you would want to, because this is a person, an innocent person, just want you to, like, you know, pass this on to Tyler. But in Tyler's position, he has to be careful of what he takes. For instance, if somebody gives him, say, a poem or a book, next movie he come out with or book he come out with, now they might claim that he done stole something from them. You see what I'm saying? So he's like, I'm not taking nothing from nobody. You know what I mean? So things like that, you understand and you get, you don't take personal. But yeah, just the professionalism that that he represents, I really appreciate it and respect it. That working with him.
And it didn't stop there. You know, we saw you in Redemption of a Dog.
Yes.
Set it off with Jacarius Johnson, which I saw twice. The first time with Kyla Pratt, and the second time I think with like Drew Sidora. I wish I would have seen you in it. And I that's one of my regrets, because I just know, you know, knowing the that version of the script and all that it did, man, I wish I would have been able to see it. But he always doing stuff over again. So from my mouth to God's ears, we need to see you back in that role so I can see it just for me. I want to play a little game. I'm going to say a name, a few names, and I want you to tell me your initial thoughts. Okay.
Okay.
Tasha Page Lockhart.
Ooh. Sanga.
George Huff.
Love.
Anthony Hamilton.
Crooner.
And did y'all both croon? So you released a single with Anthony back in 2022 on Everything, which just completely felt like butter on some real crisp and burnt bread. I mean, it was it was so perfect. How did that come about? Where did that come from? Anthony Hamilton and LaToya London. I mean, match made in heaven.
Yeah, so I've been knowing Anthony for some years. Before Idol, and he had just finished his demo. So he was an unknown talent, and so was I. And we had a mutual friend, and we, you know, everybody was in LA trying to make it or whatever. And so this one particular night, I remember meeting him. And he played us his demo tape. And I was like, oh, he is like, his voice was just something I had never heard. And I knew that he was going to be somebody, you know what I mean? He was going to make it. And anyway, so fast forward, I did American Idol. He did his thing. And so we've always known each other over the years. And so fast forward, I had wrote this song and I had him in mind. And when I presented it to him, he liked it. And then it was time for me to, like, you know, get my stuff together for my album or my singles or whatever, you know, that I was trying to release. And I was just looking through my archive, like, I want to do a song with Anthony. I knew I did. I wanted to do a song with him, and he was down to do it. And I was like, okay. But instead of like creating a whole nother song, what about the song that I wrote for him? What if I turned it into a duet? And so that's what I ended up doing. And he liked it and we made it happen. Just wanted to write a song just about how love really should look, how it should feel, you know? And that's something that unfortunately we lack a lot in this generation. you know, just that unselfish love. You know what I mean? That type of love where you looking out for your partner type of love. So if I'm looking out for you, you looking out for me, then we both got each other. You know what I mean? Then we're going to say, I got you, you got me. So we both got.
And we've heard also you're single forever. You've had these beautiful singles, but LaToya, what we all want to know is there a full length LaToya London project on the horizon?
You know, I was thinking about that. I was going back and forth with my manager about that. Like, should I just release just singles or should I put them all on a project? Because nowadays, it's like with the music industry, people aren't really buying albums anymore. You know, they're just downloading the songs that they like. And so part of me is like, and then two, just kind of to keep up the momentum of music coming out, I'm like, well, what if I just do, you know, just single after single, you know, and then maybe put those singles on one project, maybe, you know. So I'm kind of still, I'm kind of on the single side of things where I'm just going to do singles, you know what I mean? I have a single called Blue in the Wind. I didn't write it. Another young lady wrote it, but yeah, it's a beautiful folk type of song. It's just me and a guitar. That was going to be my next release. And then I wanted to do something for Christmas. But yeah, I have at least 7 songs ready to be released. So I don't know if I want to just do them single after single, just so I can stay, you know, or put them out on a project. I don't know. What you think?
7 is enough. That's all you need.
That's all I need for EP.
Yeah, people still releasing albums. You know, don't worry about what people think. I mean, at this point, you're independent. You're making those creative choices. I mean, here I am talking and my money ain't going up for it, but no, but for real. So whatever it is that you do, you know, I'm going to be supporting 100%. I want to close this up in a nice little bow. If you could go back to the LaToya that was singing in the church choir, the one that went on Idol, didn't have access really at that time to her emotions, what advice would you give her now?
The advice that I would give her now is to stay open and listen and try new things, you know, and listen to wise counsel. Yeah, because, you know, like, for instance, if I would have, say, stayed with the label and did LaToya Sings the Songs Of, no telling where that could have taken me, you know. So I would have told myself, girl, you don't know everything. Take a chance and do it and see what happens. Shut up, girl.